The Lord's Prayer gives us seven petitions. Hallowed be thy name. This phrase, we won't need to go into it much. It reviews and contains everything we've said about glorifying God. The three or four conferences that I gave you on the glory of God, and we could add much more, but that much, at least, we can put on in within that phrase, hallowed be thy name. We commit ourselves to spending our life glorifying God. Hallowed be thy name. Not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory. Not to us, O Lord, but to thy name give glory. That was the prayer that we have said this week, and from the psalmist. See? So we commit ourselves to that. You know, it's good to realize that each time we say that prayer, it is a commitment. It's a life commitment. It's a deep commitment. It's not just asking, we're really giving. And if we're not giving, we're not even asking properly. Hallowed be thy name. A lifetime of effort, and all our effort, will be spent in giving glory to God. You see, you don't need to wait till the end of the retreat to make resolutions. We've already made them. You've made it 1,000 times. But in a pious coma, most of those times, you didn't realize what you were saying. You didn't realize what you were giving away. It's good to realize it and to do it deliberately. So we won't go back and review that now. We've studied that part of the Our Father, glorifying God. The next part, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. We are going to devote ourselves as the great object in our life, the great petition that we have, in working for your kingdom. In working for your kingdom. This is the object of my life, to work for your kingdom. And we will do this every day. There's a story about a man that was watching some builders build a building, and he called down to one of the workers, "What are you doing there?" And he said, "I'm laying brick." And to another worker, he called down, "What are you doing there?" And he said, "I'm building a cathedral." God asks you what you're doing. And what do you say? "I'm keeping house. I'm doing a job." Or do you say, "I'm building a kingdom"? Are you aware of that? Are you conscious of that? That you are called upon. That you have committed yourself numberless times to building a kingdom. In one of Dorothy Day's books, you know, she was the partner of Peter Morin in the founding and carrying on the Catholic worker movement. One of her books, she reprints a card that she received from Peter Morin, a facsimile of it, in Morin's handwriting. It's very short, of course. And he's out in some town, he's writing to her, she's in New York, he's out in some little town, some nameless little town as far as we're concerned, out in Texas. And he's telling her about the fact that he had been successful in speaking. He was a great speaker. He wanted to talk and clarify ideas. He was a great worker for Christian social justice. And he said he'd been successful in speaking to a number of people, and including some priests. He took special delight in that. But the important part of his card was his signature. He said, "Your fellow worker in the kingdom." Even on this trip down to some backwater town, he was working for the kingdom. Standing on a street corner, talking to what others would think would be nondescript characters, he was working for the kingdom. That was his purpose. That was his mind. He was carrying out his commitment. What would we say if we were asked what we were doing? Would we say we're working for the kingdom? Could we say that we're working for the kingdom? Or are we spending it all on ourselves, all our time? But this is what we've said, even when we use the Our Father, thy kingdom come. And then beyond that, we say that how this is to be done. Thy will be done on earth. We're committing ourselves to that. We're saying this is our dream. This is our purpose, to do God's will on earth. Not only that He wants to do His will, but that we ourselves are committed to doing His will. And how? How well should we do His will? Just occasionally, or once in a while, or as best we can? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, perfectly, carried out by the saints and by the angels. We are offering a perfect sacrifice to Him. We are hoping to give Him a sacrifice that He will consider a perfect sacrifice. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you notice something interesting and peculiar about the Lord's Prayer as He teaches us how to pray. Only now do we take up the last four petitions which pertain to ourselves. First, we have our mind on God, glorifying God, praising God, and doing His will. Only now do we say, forgive us our trespasses, give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Don't you realize, don't you see, that most of the time that we pray that we reverse this order. We are always asking God for something, and then we recollect, perhaps, that we should praise Him and do something for Him, and we'll do something in thanksgiving. But Jesus teaches us to put the will of God first. And then we ask for those things. So this is our prayer, and this is our commitment to do. And we should carry out that commitment. We are all workers for the kingdom. It's very discouraging when we see the world threatened with many evils and ourselves so impotent. And yet today, this week, we've had an example of these great saints who never lost hope in the face of disasters which in their proximity and magnitude exceeded anything we've ever known personally. And yet they refused to be discouraged. They refused to be defeated. They went on as conquerors. Now, that's a mentality we need to get, the mentality of conquerors. One of the great criticisms that's made of Catholics and Christians is that we're born losers, that we glorify suffering, that we're always suffering and we're speaking about it, and that we simply are losers, that our books talk about suffering so much, and we exalt suffering so much. And how can you expect to win anything or to establish a kingdom if you're a born loser? Well, that objection was made most perfectly, by the story that is attributed to Julian the Apostate. Whenever he was dying, he tried to take back the Roman Empire, which had been taken over by Christian emperors. He wanted to take it back to paganism. He hated Christianity. And the story is, he was killed on the battlefield in his effort to defeat the Christian emperor. And the story is that it's put into words, in what was purport to be his words, by a modern poet, as Julian lay dying on the battlefield and he had his hand upraised in defiance of God, and he said, "Thou hast conquered, O pale Galilean, and the world is made gray with thy breath." He hated Christ and hated what we would call Christian civilization, even though it was a very imperfect civilization, as we've seen. "Thou hast conquered, O pale Galilean." What I would like to point out about is the contempt in those words, "O pale Galilean." See, that's what a great poet can do with a word. It makes him look like a weakling, like a nobody, like a frail, impotent character. and the world has grown gray instead of green and bright and beautiful. It's grown gray with thy breath. And that's the taunt, that's the jeer that is aimed at Christians, that we don't want your religion because it is weak and worthless and colorless and lifeless, as your leader is. And sometimes we acquiesce in this as losers. Now, I think we need to reflect on that and to see it. It's simply the worldly point of view against the Christian point of view. Sometimes it's true. We are losers. We have to admit the truth sometimes. But no, not that Christ is. St. Paul said, we are all conquerors. We are all conquerors. In his name, we are all conquerors. Jesus says, do not fear. I have overcome the world. This is the confidence that we should have. We are all conquerors in him who has saved us. Jesus has overcome the world. You see, we do emphasize suffering. We've spoken this week, we've been preoccupied with six people who were suffering and died suffering for Christ. If they had died suffering for their country, would let us say, the pagans, would they regret that, or would they depreciate it, or would they praise it? My point is, if men or women do suffer for some worldly purpose, we praise them. We praise an athlete. An athlete suffers. Did you ever see the picture of a runner finishing a race, putting all his effort into the last part of the race? Did you ever notice the expression, as we can, even in photographs now, of their faces? Is it a look of pleasure? Does he look like he's having a good time? It's a look of agony. He's put all his strength. He's pouring everything he has in that for a crown. And this is the climax of a training that's gone on for years, perhaps a lifetime. We praise them and we honor them and we pay them immense sums of money for doing this, because their achievements are worldly achievements. We do the same thing for artists, and their life is a discipline of work. We told us that Michelangelo lost his eyesight painting that ceiling, a great Last Judgment on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. He ruined his eyes in doing it. It's a physical work of great strain. A sculptor, an actual sculptor, stone and sculpture. I had things sculpted, a woman sculptor, do some work for my parish. I went out to see her work in the studio. I expected to see a dainty lady there, you know, working with clay. She was in overalls. She had an air hammer, and she was cutting the stone with an air hammer like a day laborer. This is what artists are willing to do to achieve what they purpose. An earthly purpose, a worldly purpose. Oh, in those cases, it was a religious purpose, because she was doing one of the baptism of John the Christ, John the Baptist, for the front of our church. But what I wish to point out, you see, is the labor they engage in and the sacrifices they make. But for this natural purpose, and a soldier, we honor them. Every town in this country has the picture of a soldier, a statue of a soldier there. They suffer too, and they kill, but they suffer. But we honor them, because they've suffered for their country, a human goal. We don't call them born losers because they died screaming in agony on a battlefield. We call them heroes. Only when we work for God are we wasting it. So we need to have the confidence that we are all conquerors in him who has loved us, St. Paul said. And we should build the kingdom with the confidence that we are all conquerors already, because I have overcome the world. The victory is really in our hands. All we have to do is join in the victory parade in our faith and love. Well, now this will be enough for the present. We'll meet again this evening. And now we'll pause until 3:30, and we'll meet those of you who wish to come to in the sacrament of the penance, the sacrament of reconciliation.